Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello. Welcome to Wilmington Business Radio. I'm Ann Revell-Petcher, your host, and I'm very excited today to bring you some people who can tell you about what's happening in the world of business in Wilmington and the Wilmington area. Our first guest today is Kevin O'Grady. He's a city councilman. Welcome, Kevin.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me here. Oh, I'm so glad you were here. And we also have Joan Locke with us, who is the owner of Crescent Moon. Hi, Joan.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I'm going to start this off with a couple questions here for Kevin. First of all, Kevin, because a lot of people just are not politically inclined, they don't really know the setup of how city works, city government works. What is it in Wilmington? How is city structured? So we have a mayor and we have a council, and how's that all put together?
Formally, it's referred to as a council-manager form of government. So we have a council. They're elected, seven of us. One's a mayor and six council members. The mayor serves for 2-year terms. Each of the council members serves for a 4-year term. We are, if you want to allude to it, it's like we are the board of directors. If we were a business, we'd be the board of directors. Okay. We set the policies. We have legal responsibilities for passing ordinances, for zoning. Mm-hmm. And we have to pass all of that and vote on it. But the actual operation of the city is not under our control.
Oh.
We have a city manager for that, and he is in charge of the entire staff of the city. A lot of people think we pick up the garbage. I have actually never go out and pick up garbage, except in front of my own house. But I do not direct any of the city staff. Okay. People often call us and say, can you get this done for me? And I pick up the phone and call the city manager and say, Sterling, you need to take care of this. And and they take care of it. And that's essentially the way the city works functionally.
And you've been on city council how long?
I served my first term 4 years and just recently decided to run for re-election, and I was successful.
Well, congratulations.
I will be, God willing, I'll be there for 4 years.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you back. So tell me about the role that city council plays in economic development in the region.
Well, I think the principal job of government as far as economic development goes is to care for the infrastructure of the city, and that's the roads and, you know, the streets, the lights, make sure the traffic moves, make sure the building permits can get issued, make sure that the planning and zoning operation runs well, make sure the streets are clean.
So you're making it easy for people to do business in Wilmington.
I mean, we don't do the business. People say, for example, we often get asked, why don't you, meaning the city, why don't you get a grocery store downtown? Well, we actually have no control over who's going to lease anywhere.
Sure.
We set zoning so that it is possible for different kinds and classes of businesses to exist in the city. But then it's up to the economy and the private sector to take advantage of those opportunities. So we have focused, and particularly in the last 4 years, we've focused on the infrastructure of the city, making sure that it's improved. Because as is true in a lot of places in the United States, the public generally thinks that roadways and infrastructure are falling apart in this country. And we've grabbed that problem by the lapels, and we're dealing with it. We've got a 5-year infrastructure program here. Mm. We're paving roads like crazy. We've paved more roads this year than we had in the past 10 years.
Wow.
We're responding to infrastructure problems, building bicycle paths, sidewalks, all the things that the people in this city have told us they would like to see more of. And to me, that's the best thing we can do for business. If we can make the city look like it runs well, make it attractive, then when your customers visit, they're going to be attracted to this city and maybe attracted to live here and become your permanent customers.
Sure.
And I think that's where our role is. The only other thing that we do is occasionally we do try to incentivize a new business to arrive. And as you know, in the last year, we have entered into incentive agreements with two companies, which will, and those two incentive agreements are very well grounded financially, because in both cases, in order to get the incentive, each company has to build a building.
Uh-huh.
And the taxes we will get from the building exceed the incentive.
Now, for the people who are listening who have not been reading the newspaper, mm-hmm. do you mind sharing with us who those
sure.
companies are?
No problem at all. Two companies. First is Castle Branch, which actually was already in existence here. They did have operations here and are very well grounded in the city. In mm-hmm. fact, hire most of their employees from UNCW, UNC Wilmington.
Sure.
And we thought that was a real good match for this city because one of the problems we see in our society here is that young people who come and study here and like Wilmington can't find work.
Right.
So we wanted Where's to find work for them. So Castle Branch was expanding. They were going to add 400 jobs.
Ooh, fabulous.
And they had the choice of putting them here or putting them in California or splitting them between the two places. And as far as I was concerned, I wanted all 400 jobs.
Sure.
And by making this incentive, which again is paid for by the building, which is already out of the ground and almost finished, we are going to get the 400 jobs. And their average annual salary is going to be $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
great.
That's a $9 million boost to our local economy that's coming in the next 4 years. And the other one is Encino, which is a computer programming company,
mm-hmm.
computer development company. Associated with a local bank, a Live Oak Bank. Here, same kind of incentive. They have to build a building. The building will exceed the value of the incentive. And they're going to bring 120 very high-paid employees, average salary $80,000.
Wow, that's great.
And in the computer development field, which will give us that niche that perhaps will draw others in the same field.
Sure. So you're bullish then on how it looks for jobs in Wilmington in terms of
I'm
growth.
I'm bullish on jobs, and we've got a couple of very exciting things that are about to happen. As you know, for several years, we've been working on a convention center hotel. I can't
waiting commit with bated breath,
well,
right?
Well, the public notice for the transaction will probably go out in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, good.
And we will probably be voting on that next month. And it's very exciting because it's a full-service hotel.
Oh, good.
And a lot of people don't understand how difficult it is to get a full-service hotel.
Well, tell us about that. Why is that so difficult?
Well, it's financing. Mm-hmm. Full-service hotels mean you're going to have a pool and you're going to mm-hmm. have an exercise room and you're going to have a full restaurant and a bar.
Right.
And in our case, it's about 180 rooms. So it's a major hotel. If you wanted to get a suites, I don't want to use any particular brand names because I don't
like
want
the
to
one about to open up around the corner.
Right.
Right.
There's a couple of them here in town, and most of the hotels in town are not full service. We have one full service hotel here. The rest of them are all what you call limited service. You can mm-hmm. get a buffet in the morning.
Sure.
They may have a wait room or something, but they really don't have all the services. We could have had that years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be our convention center hotel, and that didn't fit what the vision we had for it. So we've held out, and it's taken a lot of intestinal fortitude to stick with it, but we're there. And it's going to be a boom for downtown because it will allow the convention center to reach its real possibilities, and that's going to make all the boats float better.
Speaking of which, there'll be, what, kitty corner from the new marina that's going in?
The new marina is directly across the road from it. And there's some exciting things happening down there, too. The developer down there is beginning to be able to move with that property.
That's excellent.
And so that's a big thing that's coming. The two incentives, of course, are big. And, all of those things are happening here in the next 2 years.
Great. So we've got a good 14, 15 to look forward to.
I think you've got a boost that's going to make people feel like things are moving.
And downtown's
economically
really,
moving.
Yeah. And downtown's really going to see a nice push from that specifically,
they
right?
Should.
Yeah.
They should.
So what is it downtown businesses can do to help continue to grow that sense of vitality, if you will, for downtown?
Well, I think what's needed is that, and I've been saying this for years, is that you really have to raise quality. You can't just be willing to just be in business. You've got to be aiming higher. We've got a lot more business on the street now than we had a few years ago. In mm-hmm. fact, today, as I mentioned before we got on the air here, there was some economists were giving us projection of what an economic projection for the area.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, things are still looking a little glum in the economy generally. But one area where they said we have rebounded to pre-recession levels is retail sales. And I have an economics background, but my sort of thumb in the air feel of it was that the streets downtown are a lot busier than they were a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's clearly more people coming downtown. And I think that fits with what I heard this morning, which is that retail has at least recovered to where it was before the recession. It hasn't grown from that, but it's recovered.
Great. Well, actually, it's a great segue to talk to Joan a little bit about what's going on at Crescent Moon. Let's just take a step back here before we get into the issue and tell us a little bit about Crescent Moon.
Well, Crescent Moon started in 2002. They opened their doors with another couple that opened it, and that was located up at the Cotton Exchange,
mm-hmm.
in a small space, about 410 square feet. And my husband and I were looking to reinvent ourselves back in 2006. And we were living aboard our boat and happened to come down here for the winter. And Crescent Moon was a place that I used to shop at. I loved it because mm-hmm. my family lived down here. And one day I asked the owner, I said, well, what are you looking for? And she gave me a number and I said, can I have first right of refusal? I have to have dinner with my husband tonight. So I bought him a bottle of wine and talked him into why he, past executive of a commercial printing entity, and me with a marketing and consulting background should hop into retail. And we both agreed it would be great because we like the arts, and that's mm-hmm. what Crescent Moon was about. Primarily specializing in art glass and a little bit of metal sculpture, basically because of the size of the place that we were in. Late 2012, we were given an opportunity to move to a larger location in the center of downtown, which is right at 24 North Front, in a building that used to house Nautical Hang-Ups for 18 years and then Momentum Skate Shop. We really, really liked the owner of mm-hmm. the building, Ed Peacock. The building has a lot of history. It used to be the Freeman Shoe Company.
And I think that's what's on your entryway, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's got a very Art Deco feel inside. Mm-hmm. And there was just a lot of bones about the building. And plus, the upstairs was available for us to cultivate into something. So overall, it was about 3,200 square feet versus 410.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. And again, Mr. Peacock, Ed and Gail Peacock, who own it, because it was his grandfather that owned Freeman Shoe Company.
Oh, really?
And Mademoiselle Shop next door, which is now the Wonder Shop.
Mm-hmm.
They really were passionate about downtown. And they were passionate about not just putting anything and renting to anyone. They wanted to see retail revitalized downtown.
Great.
The way it was, with just unique shops and not more convenience stores, not more tattoo parlors. So they basically held out until they found somebody that they felt was a match, and we were. So we moved forward, and we had our grand opening in March of 2013 into our space, and we've never looked back since. I mean, it's been a wonderful, just a wonderful opportunity for us. And to not only embrace more local art, but to get more involved with the local businesses, which I do when we do the Fourth Friday Gallery Walks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I partner with different businesses downtown so that it gives us an opportunity to cross-promote.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I'm a little different. I've always believed that if the top of the pyramid is healthy, and I might be the third tier down, it will come down,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because, you know, it is my responsibility to build the relationships with my customer to have
Absolutely.
Them come back.
Absolutely.
But you still need that healthy environment, business environment that Kevin spoke about in order for me to succeed and any business to succeed. So, you know, we've just, that's how we, where we are now. And we signed a 5-year lease and we're not looking back.
That's great.
Well, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Joan is one of the more forward-thinking retailers downtown. And
thank you.
The whole story she just told you is a story of upgrade. I mean, the space she's in now and the store she's in now shows a great quality improvement. And that's the kind of thing that I look for in our business people, is that they're not willing to settle. They want to be better. And what we have to do from the government side, we have to be responsive to it.
Right.
We have to try to clear the way and deal with issues when they arise. And perfect example happened in the last 24 hours.
Mm.
I have been on, in addition to being on the city council, yesterday morning, I got sworn in to the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority Board.
Ooh.
So I've been on it. This morning, I had been on it almost 24 hours.
When the first water main break.
Phone rang.
That's
yep.
what caused the leak.
So last night, that's right. It's obviously, it's all my fault.
It's your power.
Well, last night, we had a late night, pretty severe water main break right on Front Street.
Right outside of Crescent Moon.
Now, I'm going to show responsiveness. That pipe was fixed by 5 a.m.
Oh, really?
Cape Fear Public Utility Authority had it dug up, repaired, and filled. And it's being paved now, I think.
Uh-huh.
It was repaired by 5 a.m. 9 a.m., as I say, only 24 hours after I'd been sworn in, my phone rang of a business owner, restaurant owner downtown who was saying, I haven't got any water.
Right.
How am I going to be in business today?
Exactly.
What can you do? Well, as I explained to him, I had been on the board 24 hours, and I didn't have the slightest idea. But within 30 minutes, I had the executive director of the utility authority on the phone with him explaining what would happen and what the timing was and what they could do and what they couldn't do.
Yeah.
And that's what you need.
And
you need
that
partnership between government and business, that business is going to have problems. They're going to come to government and look for some solutions, and there's things we can do and there's things we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
There's things we have to live within the rules that are made for us. But we have to be responsive so that they feel they're getting all the support that they need.
Right. And I have to say, it's been my experience since being involved over the last three and a half years, both as a board member of the Downtown Business Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
I've also
ask about that.
Yeah. And I've also been part of the Bring It Downtown Task Force that was able to take some of the parking marketing funds to do some marketing of downtown. And I have to say, there's been a much more open door policy for the businesses. You know, we're constantly working out different things, and there's still some things that I think businesses would like to see improved or discussed in the future. But we've had a much better open door policy with council in the past 3 years.
Tell us a little bit about the Downtown Business Alliance.
It's been around for about 37 years
Ooh,
now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't even remember who or what started it, but it really is the voice for businesses to join. It's
is it primarily retail businesses? Or
No, it's everyone. Services.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just be a friend of, you know, if you live in the residence of Old Wilmington, or if you own a piece of property and you have a retail business in that property, you can. Membership is only $25 a year. We're not trying to do marketing or to take on a lot of projects. Our focus is to bring and educate more of the businesses and be an advocacy group. And one of our focus this year is to help educate businesses with different seminars and programs. We have a lot of talented people
Sure.
already and a lot of service industry, you know, that and everything to help them grow.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to see businesses take a space and then, you know,
not succeed.
So
right.
we want to help them. And that's going to be one of the focuses this year, is to help the businesses downtown just continue to get stronger.
Well, what are the reasons that people should consider having a downtown? If someone's thinking about being an entrepreneur or starting a new business, whether it's a business-to-business kind of environment like radio, for example, or whether it's retail or food, what would make downtown a good place to be?
I think it's the type of the shop or store or business you want to. I can't speak for the service industry, obviously. I think people that do bring their service companies down here, it's because of the fun, the funk, the atmosphere, you know, being able to walk out your door to several different restaurants or lunch rooms and everything to eat. Go take a walk along the river, you know, river
lunch
walk.
Hour, et cetera, yeah.
Exactly. And again, afterwards, you can, you know, do things at night. There's like lots of happy hours and things. So I think from that standpoint, from a my business standpoint, it was the uniqueness. I'm unique. Downtown is unique. It's a great destination area for tourists.
Right.
They go to the beaches, but the beaches tend to be more seasonal.
Right.
Downtown is not seasonal. A lot of people will say it's seasonal, but then again, it's your job to cultivate.
Sure.
You know, I want to bring in the locals even,
exactly.
you know, on the shoulder
exactly.
months. You know, I don't want to just be relying on 7 months out of the year or 6 months out of
sure.
the year. So I think that is a great and you know, I don't. To me, this is my opinion. I don't want to be around a lot of box stores.
Well,
that's
I have to
me.
Say that when we first moved here, one of the things that we loved about downtown Wilmington specifically is you just don't see a lot of chains here at all. I think, what do we have, a Jimmy John's maybe? And is there anything else?
That's just recent.
Subway,
yeah.
you know, that kind of thing. But you don't, you know, and there's a lot of, there's a lot of different opinions. I hear it all the time that from the economic development side, that if we only had this down here, it would draw more of the locals. You know, and they're talking about whether it's a like American Outfitters or
yeah,
something
American
like
Eagle
yeah
or,
American Eagle, something like that. And I don't really know whether that would do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we have to do is strengthen our finger streets, like going up and down Princess and Market. And I think we have to strengthen the highlight on Second Street, because a lot of the highlight just gets to First.
Right.
And I think as a group of businesses, we could do better to promote and
all
market.
All of downtown, from the river to Third,
Exactly, because they do get a little forgotten
mm-hmm.
back there.
I think historically, Second Street has tended to be a service street rather than a storefront street. And if you look down there, you'll see the buildings really don't face that street that much. I think one of the things that Joan is reflecting here is something we hear whenever we go to hear economists or people who look to the futures of urban areas, is that the pop demographics of this country are changing. More single people or couples living together for a longer period of time without going to single family homes.
Right.
And then when their kids are gone, wanting to get back to that and wanting to be in an urban environment
mm-hmm.
where they can walk to things, where
right.
they don't have to get into a car every time they want to go out and get a pizza.
Right.
And I'm looking over here to see if these young people are nodding or not. But that's
we know
that's
they'd the rather thing, live downtown. We
that's
know
the
that.
Thing that that's the hidden advantage that we have here. I think that's the future for downtown. In fact, we've got 120 apartment units under construction right now, just over on Third.
Yeah, that's really important, I think, to the future of downtown business.
And I think that will be probably much like the development just outside of downtown, where it used to be a public housing development. It's taken over by a private developer, made into nice apartments.
Down on South
Front.
Boom.
Yeah.
Sold. They have everything. Every
Absolutely.
One of them rented out.
Absolutely.
And I think you put 120 younger people, let's mm-hmm. say, downtown, that's going to be a huge boost.
Sure.
For retail and for all business
Absolutely.
Downtown.
Absolutely.
And, you know, from my perspective also, you have to look at it from bridge to bridge, because there is a lot going on with, you know, with the North End. And we want to be able to draw those people within walking, because I used to be in business. I know what a convention near does.
Right.
I know the habit after 4:30
yep.
and everything. So we want to make sure they're walking down and coming into
mm-hmm.
the community. But we also see a lot of regeneration of the revitalization of Castle Street.
Absolutely.
So we have to bring that closer. And one of the things that the Bring It Downtown initiatives is we've been working with Wave to kind of upfit the downtown trolley. You know, we're working
the free trolley.
The free trolley, because a lot of people don't know it's free and they don't know where it stops.
We don't know where it stops. I've always wanted to know where it stops.
Exactly.
I always wanted to know when it goes by.
And we've been working on that, and I'm hoping something will be rolled out within the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Great.
But
we'll look for
again,
that.
That's only one trolley. We really need to. There is three trolleys, but only one is in service. So I'm hoping over the next couple of years with all of this development and possibly some private enterprise money coming in because of the marina and everything, wanting to bring people around, that there will be the three trolleys taking people and moving people around, because that makes sense. Then they can't complain about parking, because you can park in a deck. You can pick up a trolley easily. You can be taken around, go from one place to the other. I mean, all the other cities like us do it as they grow, and we're growing.
Right. Well, and I know
that's an interesting, by the way, I also wear the hat of Wave Transit Authority. So the trolley is an interesting thing. You know, we had to take one off the street because there was inadequate funding to continue to run it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really perk up if I heard that the private sector was ready to help support it, because I would love to see the trolley get back onto the street again. The fact of the matter is, we almost lost Wave Transit this year because of a loss of funding. And in fact, we're going to be meeting this in the next month to talk about revising the interlocal agreement for supporting it to make sure that that doesn't happen again. Because public transportation is essential to have a active and successful urban area.
Absolutely.
And the fact of the matter is, when I say urban area, I'm not talking just about downtown Wilmington. We're clearly the most urban part, but this entire county is now urban. We have to forget the thought that somehow New Hanover County is a rural county.
It is not.
If you go on Google Maps and go up to the border of Wilmington and just scroll up, and if you can tell where the border is, it's as dense outside of the city as it is in the city. And that has to be a change in mindset, that we need public transportation. We need to expand public transportation. And unfortunately, the pyramid of financing that's necessary for public finance is you must have local funding. Because local funding gives you state funding, and state and local funding gives you federal funding.
And when you say local, you're not talking just about city tax dollars?
Well,
or?
Right now, it's our transportation system is primarily supported by the city of Wilmington, $1.2 million a year of local funding. All the other participants put in much less than that. And it's a system which, if it's going to succeed, has to expand out over the entire county, in fact, over the region. We are already over in Brunswick County, and Brunswick County has stepped up, and they do support the one line that runs over to Brunswick County, because they saw the need to connect the two counties.
I see that Brunswick connector bus.
We need to see some more of that thinking over on this side of the river about our entire county, and ultimately up to Pender County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely need the transportation to get move people around.
And I think also to help find a way to get people during the summer months from the beach to downtown and the downtown to the beach. I hear from people all the time who would like to come downtown and just don't.
Well, that used to be the cable car. I mean,
I know.
That was their summer homes. They lived downtown and went to Wrightsville, their summer home. So it's kind of like, wouldn't it be nice to have something like that too? But and the other thing is, the other thing that I don't even know, Kevin, you might be able to tell me from a legislative standpoint, is a light rail line to Raleigh to here even on any horizon?
Well, there isn't even a right-of-way to put it on right now. Though there has been some talk about reacquiring the right-of-way. I'm not hopeful that we're going to see that in the immediate future. Let's just say that I don't think during my term I'm going to have to deal with that.
Okay. Or get to deal with it.
I would like get to deal with it.
That must be on a 2040 plan.
Well, what would businesses need to do to help push something like that forward? I know as someone who goes to Raleigh almost every week,
we have a legislative delegation, and they're well known here. And we certainly, as a city, we do appeal to them. We meet with them every year before they go into session. And we put a list of things on the table that we would like to see accomplished. And we've got three things on it this year. One of it is our film incentives,
right?
Which
you're
talking about business. You know, so far we've talked mostly about downtown, but downtown is a part, a very important part. We have several retail areas.
Absolutely.
And we have a major industry here, which is the film industry.
Yep.
It produces a lot of money. It produces a lot of jobs for our area. And it is completely dependent
and
on the existence of an incentive system.
It also brings a lot of people to visit.
Sure,
because I can't tell you how many people would come into the Cotton Exchange and end up in my shop saying, where exactly is the One Tree Hill place that they film at, which was across the street?
Right.
I mean, people come here because there's all these websites now with the internet that they follow all these shows. And when they can, they take little road trips.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. So. I live on a block where one of the former actresses for One Tree Hill used to live. She lived across the street. And these kids would come down and they would lay flowers on her.
Oh.
It was a little bit creepy, you know? But they did. There is actually film tourism where people come to see the scenes.
Absolutely is.
And it's a huge industry. That's one. Second thing is we do have a very historic city. There's a historic tax credit that allows homeowners of these old homes to keep them up because, believe me, they wear out fast. That's on the block, and we're trying to serve that. And then the third thing, of course, we're just trying to protect our own funding, that no changes in state law take support away from the city so that we can continue to provide the services that we think are necessary so businesses can succeed.
How do you see those things playing into your business? How can they really affect more feet walking in off the street, if you will, into a Crescent Moon or any of the others downtown?
Yeah, Jim Bitta, who is the president and has been the president for the past couple of years of the Downtown Business Alliance, says we need the shoes on the sidewalk, and that's basically what it is. The film, obviously, and I think all of them are important because if any more funds are lost, it's a trickle-down effect. It'll affect us,
sure,
small businesses and medium-sized businesses and service businesses and even businesses like Castle Hayne. I mean Castle Branch, because, again, someone else will woo them away.
Yeah.
I mean, I was born and raised in New Jersey, and I was in the corporate sector for a long, long time, and I can remember the Raleigh-Durham Triangle area just taking away businesses after businesses,
right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in the mid-80s and everything. So, and that could happen here if we don't keep up with, as Kevin had said, the infrastructure, because it's not only about the visitors, it's about the people. If you want to recruit somebody for your business here, they got to like the lifestyle.
Absolutely.
So the lifestyle here has to match also.
Yeah.
But I did want to say one other thing about the businesses downtown. Right now, and again, talking to Jim yesterday because he is in real estate, there is a great opportunity while I have the chance to try and tell any small businesses out there if they're interested in downtown. There's about 6 to 8 available properties right now. That would be really, you know, it would really be a good time to start looking into them if they want to grow or relocate.
Do you mean retail properties, or you mean
street level? The ones I'm talking about are street level. The other thing is there is a building across from us that the building owner, along with someone else managing it for them, are turning into smaller 200 and 300 square foot retail opportunities.
Mini retail.
And talking to both Jim and a couple other active business owners and Ed Wolverton, the new CEO of WDI, we see that and we want to support it because we see it as like an incubator opportunity.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
If you can go in and support somebody that goes in into a 200 square foot, like we were at a 410 square foot place, mm-hmm. help them learn the business and opportunities through CFCC
mm-hmm.
and different places to strengthen their business, then maybe they can take over a 2,500 square foot spot or 1,500. Right away, you've got somebody to go out there and
you got a pipeline.
And also through the loaning opportunities of WDI and of
SBA.
The banks and SBA.
Absolutely.
and everything. So I just wanted to put that out there, that there are a lot of opportunities right now for anybody thinking entrepreneurially to start something.
Which leads into the last question that I had for you, which is to talk to me a little bit about the Buy Local campaign that you've been involved with.
Oh, yeah, I was involved in that, too.
busy
well,
lady.
It's not just, it's to me, it's common sense. Buy local. It was something that Gail Tabor, a good friend of mine who is a co-partner of Glen Soaps, started, oh gosh, I guess about 4 or 5 years ago. And it really was because the whole country was on the cusp of recognizing, supporting, you know, supporting your local businesses before they go away. I had already been very involved and aware of the 350 project, which was started by a business owner up in, I think, the Alexandria, Virginia area. And what 350 project says is pick three of your favorite businesses and spend 50 in one of them every month. And pick the ones that if you walked up to their door and saw a going out of business sign, you'd be like, oh, no, they're my favorite shop.
Right.
So if everybody did that and everything, then more small businesses would stay healthy. And I've always liked that philosophy, and I've always supported that initiative. And then when American Express came out with their Shop Small Saturday,
right,
I thought, wow, now everybody, there, some people didn't like that because it was promoting their merchant services, but it's like they're going to spend millions on something. I'm for it.
And
you
have
know?
You seen, did you ever see an uptick on Saturday, the Shop Small
Absolutely.
Saturday?
Absolutely.
You did.
Oh my God. Well, I pay attention to those things.
Right.
And, you know, I pay attention to those things, and I'm a marketer to begin with. So,
right.
You know, yes, I did a special. I went and got the activation kit for the community, and we gave out the floor mats. We mm-hmm. gave out the totes. We gave out to businesses and everything down here. But all of those combined, there's two things. More and more people want to support the small businesses because they realize that 70 to 80% of the money spent there goes back into the community.
Exactly.
You know, I hire the local help.
Right.
Finkelstein's, you know, jeweler's been here for over 100 years. They've always hired local help.
Right.
And, you know, so, and we shop here. You know, I personally don't shop online unless it's something I cannot get anywhere that for my grandson out in California. That's why I've always supported those. And when sure. As far as the buy local, it really was, we came up with buy local because Gail said, you know, a lot of times, it's not just Wilmington, it's the ILM area.
Sure.
So we looked at it that anything that the airport was surrounding with the airport service, that is why buy local.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more people really rally behind that too.
Yeah, I would too. I just have one question for each of you before we wrap this up today. And that is, if you, we're starting to get a little bit broader reach here, and we have people from outside of the area who listen to see if maybe they want to come to Wilmington to open their business. And I'm wondering if you have just one thing each that you would like to have Wilmington be known for from a lifestyle or from a business perspective. What one word or one phrase might you say to people who are thinking about Wilmington as a place to be?
Well, because it's my life, is the arts and culture mm-hmm. that we have here.
And what's unique about that?
Well, you know, again, I'm a metropolitan, you know, person. I grew up going into Philadelphia and New York, but yet the plays that I've seen down here at City Stage and Thalian Hall and Red Barn and Hannah Block, I mean, have just blown me away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, between that and the bands and the music and the, you know, I can't say enough about it. There is something to do down here all the time. It's like a little micro city.
Yep. Yeah, great. What would you say, Kevin?
This is a city of 100-year-old homes that were the first homes in this country to have digital television. So we are grounded in our history, but we have our eyes on the future.
Ah,
so come here. Come here and succeed with us.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. If someone wants to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you?
We are crescentmoonnc.com.
Please spell crescent.
crescentmoonnc.com. And that is for Twitter, for Facebook, for LinkedIn, for our website. And you can contact me at joan@crescentmoon.com. Come to 20. The best way is just walk in my front door.
Well, that's the most exciting way. That's certain.
I have a couch and chairs.
Uh-huh.
And I have magazines.
There's a coffee shop across the street.
And I have magazines for the men. Uh-huh. not those kind of magazines. Oh, my God. No, I have reading material for the men so that they can let their
men
wives
ink.
Shop.
Men Inc., right? Kevin, what if somebody wants to get a hold of you?
Kevin.ogrady@wilmingtonnc.gov. And, yes, there are two N's in Wilmington, N.C.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very good. Thanks to both of our guests.
Oh,
what a great
you,
show today.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always
thank
a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
And until next time, this is Anne Revell-Petcher for Wilmington Business Radio.